Good morning and happy Friday. I'm Cheryl Walker with the News Gazette. Today is Friday, November the 15th, 2024, and we will begin today's reading on the front page with the article headline, Agency Lit Their Way After Autism Diagnosis. This story is written by Luke Taylor, iTaylor at newsgazette.com. When their daughter Adeline began showing signs of what would later be diagnosed as autism, Jack and Samantha Gaffney felt like they'd been hit by a curveball in their parenting journey. You do all the preparedness and read all the books and everything like that, and then you get hit with something like this, and the whole game's changed, Jack Gaffney said. You kind of have to look at it from a different perspective because you're going to have to do things differently with an autistic child than a non-autistic child. Even as they sought out diagnosis, not wanting to assume what Adeline's behavior meant, the Gaffneys turned to the developmental services for support. Not only did DSC been able to help Adeline find ways to communicate, despite being mostly nonverbal, but the center has also helped provide Jack and Samantha with more information on autism in general and what to expect for their daughter. Every day, everybody deals with this in their own way and at their own pace, but a lot of tools and resources that the DSC has put in place kind of helped out, Jack said. They kind of give us like, hey, here's your North Star. Here's kind of what to expect on that path. The Gaffneys will be continuing to share their story over the next few months as the spokesfamily for the DSC's annual Tree of Hope fundraising campaign. The holiday fundraiser started Wednesday with a kickoff event that also included the announcement of this year's campaign goal. We are grateful to the Gaffney family for sharing their story of the support they have received from DSC and said DSC CEO Daniel Matthews. We've invited you to celebrate the season with a gift to the DSC's Tree of Hope campaign and help light the way for so many individuals and families right here in our community. Funds from the campaign will help support the services DSC provides to people with intellectual and developmental disabilities. For the Gaffneys, that has meant helping Adeline to get a communication device and learn a few sign language signs so that at 4 years old, she can communicate without necessarily speaking. Jack recalled it took a while to get an official diagnosis for his daughter, in part because he said doctors didn't want to believe Samantha's assessment of their daughter's symptoms. They kept trying to play it off, like, oh, maybe this is maybe that. My wife was like, I think she just has autism, Jack said. Thankfully, they were able to get the diagnosis when they did. That way, she could get the services and get all the support she needs at this stage of her life. Whether it's a Disney World or an airport, whether it's at Disney World or at the airport, Jack said, having official paperwork means that the family can get accommodations for their daughter for the things that neurotypical people might never think about. It also means that Jack and Samantha can get a clearer picture of how to support Adeline and what goals to set for her. Realistically, they've learned Adeline's autism doesn't have to be an obstacle to her future goals and her career paths. Jack remembered learning about celebrities, authors, speakers, race car drivers, and all kinds of people who he didn't know had autism. There's so many people out there that it doesn't really limit them. So with having that understanding, we have a bright future and hopes and aspirations for Addie, he said. That's why the Gaffneys, who aren't that familiar with the attention that comes along with being the DSC spokesfamily, decided to accept that role this year. We looked at it as an opportunity to share our story for other families that may be going through something similar, to let them know that if they aren't receiving those resources and that help like we are, that there are folks out there to help with this as much as you want, Jack said. A picture was provided of Jack and Samantha and their daughter, Adeline, with this story. Community team working as one, just like always, by Dave Hinton. That's D. Hinton at newsgazette.com. Gibson City. Paul Patel knows how big Gibson City Sibley football games are, so much that he closes his Dairy Queen restaurant in Gibson City to allow employees to attend Falcons games on Saturdays. Only the drive-through portion of the restaurant will be open, as many of his staff will be headed to the Class 1A quarterfinal playoff game against Lena Winslow. Patel is one of those planning to be on hand for the game. His son, Dev, an offensive lineman, is on the team. I know how to lose some business, but there are a lot of students who want to enjoy the game, he said. Patel said he is one of many backing the Falcons. "Everybody in town is supporting," he said. "They have been waiting for this moment for a long time. The Falcons will have the more than 3-hour drive to Lena in Northwest Illinois, west of Rockford, to play a team that has won 6 state championships since 2010. They're a powerhouse in 1A, says Gary McCullough, longtime radio voice of the Falcons. It marks the first time GCMS has advanced to the quarterfinals since 2018. For Lena Winslow, the state quarters are old hat. The team has played in the state A1 championship game the last 3 years, winning in 2021 and 2022 before falling to Camp Point Central last season. LW comes in 11-0. "I think we're up to it. We're playing our best of the season now. Most everyone's healthy," McCullough said. The Falcons showed that Saturday when they handed Perennial playoff team Sterling Newman 28-0 after knocking off Sophomore 38-7 in the first round. "I consider us and the success we've had in the last 15 years right up there with the power programs in the state of Illinois," said McCullough, who has a special rooting interest since his grandson, Jack Willoughby, is on the team. "Sometimes it's difficult to make the calls on the radio and watch him," McCullough said. "GCMS fans are still glowing over back-to-back 2A state championships in 2017 and 2018. High school principal Kyle Bitterfield said no doubt many of the current Falcons were starry-eyed youngsters watching their heroes win 2 state titles, spurring them today for the play team. GCMS has produced its share of high-level talent in recent years. Aiden Lottery, a running back of the for the University of Illinois, started as a freshman on the 2018 GCMS team. Bryce Barnes, a former defensive lineman for the Illini, played on the 2017-18 teams and now is an assistant coach for the Falcons. Former Falcon Ben Froehl is a kicker for Purdue. Rylan Holt, a 3-sport standout for GCMS in football, basketball, and track, was a starter on the West Texas A&M basketball team that reached this year's Final Four of the Division II, according to McCone. "Fans planning to attend the game might want to consider bringing lawn chairs. Tom Benfo has been to the Lena Field when he bussed Ridgeview High School's team there for a playoff game several years ago. He says seating accommodations are limited. The field is owned by the Towns Park District. One side of the field abuts a residential district, and there is no seating there. But both home and away visitors will be sitting on the same side of the field. Small towns are unique. The level of attachment to sports teams is strong. In Gibson City, the town backs not only high school teams, but lower level squads as well. We held a reception downtown just a couple of weeks ago for the Mighty Might youth football team, who won their championship," McCullough said. "It doesn't always have to be the sports. The academic kids, band kids, all get support from the community. We have benefited tremendously from the youth football program. It's like a high school program." Bifill said the enthusiasm is revamping up in the community and student-wide. The Falcons' success this season hasn't surprised them. "I thought we had a good chance to make some noise, make a good run," he said. "We got a good mix of seniors, juniors, and some sophomores that helped out." Heading the team is Coach Chad Osperger, who served as the assistant for Coach Mike Allen when the Falcons won in 2017 and 2018. For Patel, the interest won't end after his son is no longer a member of the team. "Every year after football season, we have a dinner at the Dairy Queen," Patel said. "We invite the team and the coaches in. If things go as hoped, they might also be celebrating a state championship." Now, quarterback Braden Elliott and the Falcons are on a playoff roll, winning their first 2 games handedly. Pictures were provided by Robin Schultz. And the Falcons celebrated the second of the back-to-back state championships, this time after the IHSA Class 2A title game, November 23rd, 2018, at Memorial Stadium in Champaign. This picture was provided by Stephen Haas of the News Gazette. History. Area history. In 1924, the University of Illinois Council of Administration is doing its best to drive student automobiles from campus. Automobiles are prohibited on campus during class changes. The council argues that the little immorality prevalent here, coupled with undemocracy in students' low grades, are all caused by student automobiles. In 1974, all universities will have to allow students access to their files and records when a new federal law goes into effect. But the law is finding few supporters among university administrators, professors, educational organizations, and even students. In 2009, members of the Coles Together group promoting the proposed $2.4 billion Future Gen Clean Coal Power Plant said they remain optimistic that the Federal Department of Energy will greenlight the project early next year. International History Today's highlight on November the 15th, 1864. Late in the U.S. Civil War, Union forces led by Major General William Tecumseh Sherman began their march to the sea from Atlanta. The campaign ended with the capture of Savannah, Georgia on December the 21st. On this date, in 1777, the Second Continental Congress approved the Articles of Confederation. In 1806, explorer Zebulon Pike sighted the mountaintop known as Pike's Peak in present-day Colorado. In 1939, President Franklin D. Roosevelt laid the cornerstone of the Jefferson Memorial in Washington, D.C. In 1959, four members of the Cluttery family of Holcomb, Kansas were found murdered in their home. Richard Hickok and Perry Smith were later convicted of the killings and hanged in a case made famous by the Truman Capote's book In Cold Blood. In 1956, the flight of Gemini 12, the final mission of the Gemini program, ended successfully as astronauts James A. Lovell and Edwin Buzz Aldrin Jr. splashed down safely in the Atlantic after spending 4 days in orbit. In 1969, a quarter of a million protesters staged a peaceful demonstration in Washington, D.C., against the Vietnam War. And this has been history. Top of the morning, something to get you going today, courtesy staff writer Luke Taylor. Bellying Up on Fridays will spotlight the men and women serving up cold ones and conversations in our neck of the woods. Let us know about your favorite bartender by emailing itaylor@newsgazette.com. If you're looking for a place to get a cold drink that's also family friendly, bartender Michelle Kors has a suggestion, Sard's Tap in Danville, where she's worked since 2015. She says everyone knows everyone there and everyone can feel comfortable as soon as they walk in the door. Sard's is a staple to Danville and I am proud to be a part of that, Kors said. Sard's has helped me through some rough times in life and I could be more grateful to all those that have been there along the way. Originally from Bismarck, Kors now lives in Georgetown and works at Pepsi Cola by day. And in the evenings, you'll find her serving up drinks like a pineapple upside down cake cocktail that she says is her go-to when the customers ask for something sweet. On the occasion, Kors has a drink herself. It's usually a Bud Light. Next, I have met some lifelong friends that are now like family to me, she said. I love visiting with my regulars and enjoying seeing them come in. And time again, some of these regulars I enjoy spending time with outside of the bar as well. Some of her favorite memories at Sarge's are from the annual anniversary party in August. Not gonna lie, that is a rough night for all of our bartenders because it's so busy. But we make it fun while watching everyone else have the best night drinking and dancing, Kors said. Whenever she catches free time, you'll find Kors spending time with friends and family, including her four grandkids. Daybook Almanac, there are 46 days left in the year. Notable birthdays. Singer Petula Clark is 92. Actor Sam Waterston is 84. Classical conductor Daniel Baron Boom is 82. Pop singer Annie Frieda Lyngstad of ABBA is 79. Fashion designer Jimmy Choo is 76. Actor Beverly D'Angelo is 73. And news correspondent John Roberts is 68. Former Tonight Show band leader Kevin Eubanks is 67. Actor Jimmy Lee Miller is 52. Actor Sean Murray is 47. Golf Hall of Famer Lorene Ocho is 43. Actor Shailene Woodley is 33. And NBA All-Star Karl Anthony Towns is 29. Lotteries. Thursday's Illinois Lottery, Pick 3, midday, 617. Pick 3, evenings, 802. Pick 4, midday, is 9396. Pick 4, evenings, 8314. And Lucky Day Lotto, midday, was 20, 21, 23, 33, 43. Lucky Day Lotto, evening, 8, 17, 20, 26, 37. The Lotto was 2, 16, 23, 26, 33, 38. Estimated jackpot, $4.85 million. Thursday's Hoosier Lottery, daily 3 midday, 605, daily 4 midday, 1931. Estimated lotto jackpot, $29.2 million. Friday's Mega Millions, estimated jackpot is $387 million. Saturday's Powerball, estimated jackpot is $130 million. Need the numbers we didn't have by press time? Contact Illinois Lottery, 1-800-252-1775, illinoislottery.com. Hoosiers Lottery Information, 1-800-95-LOTTO, HoosierLottery.com. Calling all teachers, the News Gazette. Sign your class up today. Don't miss out on our most fun and creative section that is popular with students, readers, and advertisers. Student Design and Ad is a contest in which students in grade 1 through 12 are using their art and writing skills to design advertisements for local area businesses. Ads chosen by each advertiser will appear in a special selection on Wednesday, March 26, 2025. Deadline for teachers to sign up their students is Tuesday, December 31st, 2024. Sign up by contacting Mary Lovejoy at 217-393-8284, mylovejoy@cimg.media. United Way of Champaign County and Dolly Parton's Imagination Library provides free monthly books to children under 5 in Champaign and Douglas counties. Sign up to receive books mailed directly to your homes. Free books. Register now. There's a scan that you need to, barcode that you need to scan, and they have a list of books here. Next, administration, nation and world. RFK Jr. pick for health. New York AP. President-elect Donald Trump says he will nominate anti-vaccine activist Robert F. Kennedy Jr. to lead Department of Health and Human Services, putting a man whose views public health officials have decried as dangerous in charge of a massive agency that oversees everything from drug vaccines and food safety to medical research and the social safety net programs, Medicare and Medicaid. For too long, Americans have been crushed by the industrial food complex and drug companies who have engaged in deception, misinformation, and disinformation when it comes to public health, Trump said Thursday in a post on his Truth Social site announcing his appointment of Kennedy. He said would end the chronic disease epidemic and make America great and healthy again. Kennedy is one of the most prominent anti-vaccine activists in the world and has long advanced the debunked ideas that vaccine causes autism and other health issues. Trump also announced Thursday that he has chosen Doug Collins, a former congressman from Georgia, to run as Department of Veterans Affairs. Collins is a chaplain in the U.S. Air Force Reserve Command. The Republican served in Congress from 2013 to 2021, and he began to defend Trump during his first impeachment process. Hailing from one of those nation's most storied political families, Kennedy is the son of the late Attorney General Robert F. Kennedy and the nephew of President John F. Kennedy. He first challenged President Joe Biden for the Democratic nomination last year. He then ran as an independent before abandoning his bid after striking a deal to give Trump his endorsement with a promise to have a role overseeing health policy in the second Trump administration. He and the president-elect have since become good friends. The two campaigned together extensively during the race final stretch, and Trump had made clear he intended to give Kennedy a major role overseeing public health as part of a campaign to make America healthy again. I'm going to let him go wild on health, Trump said at a rally last month during his victory speech in Palm Beach, Florida. Last week, Trump exclaimed, "Go have a good time, Bobby." Still, it was unclear precisely what job he would be offered in the October interview on CNN. Trump transition co-chair Howard Lucek assured there was no way Kennedy would receive the job he got. The appointment drew alarms from public health experts. Robert F. Kennedy Jr. is not remotely qualified for the role and shouldn't be nowhere near the science-based agencies that safeguard our nutrition, food safety, and health, said Peter Laurel, president of the Public Health Watchdog Group, Center for Science in the Public Interest. Dr. Mandy Cohn, director of the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, told the Associated Press, "I don't want to go backwards and see children or adults suffer or lose their lives to remind us that the vaccines work, and so I am concerned. Any misinformation coming from places of influence, of power, concerning," she said, "is very concerning," she said. Attorney General nominee, release GATS ethics report, Durbin demands. Representative resigned before a vote on release by Justin Papp, CQ roll call, TNS, Washington. A growing chorus of voices are calling for the release of the much-hyped House ethics report on Representative Matt Gaetz, who resigned Wednesday shortly after earning President-elect Donald Trump's nod for Attorney General. House Ethics had been investigating the Florida Republican for sexual misconduct and illicit drug use, among other allegations. The committee was set to vote Friday on the release of a damaging report, Punchbowl News first reported, but then came his surprise resignation. The sequence and timing of Mr. Gaetz's resignation from the House raised serious questions about the contents of the House Ethics Committee report. We cannot allow this valuable information from a bipartisan investigation to be hidden from the American people, Senate Judiciary Chair Richard J. Durbin, Democrat of Illinois, said in a statement Thursday. Make no mistake, this information could be relevant to the question of Mr. Gaetz's confirmation as the next Attorney General of the United States and our constitutional responsibility of advice and consent, Durbin continued, calling on House Ethics to preserve and share the report and all relevant documentation. Speaker Mike Johnson said Wednesday that the Ethics Committee would no longer have jurisdiction over a former member, effectively ending the investigation into Gaetz, and House Ethics Chairman Michael Guest, our Republican of Mississippi, told reporters that once Gaetz resigned, no report would be issued, according to Fox News. Tom Russ, the committee staff director and chief counsel, declined to comment. But that doesn't necessarily have to be the case. While Durbin is calling for the House committee to share its findings with Senate judiciary members, ethics experts, and others want a public airing. Several Judiciary Committee Democrats echoed Durbin's call on Thursday. Senator Richard Blumenthal described his ethics report as essential to the nomination. I also think that the Department of Justice investigation materials should be provided, perhaps privately since the investigation is closed and no charges have been brought. But we have a duty to examine all those materials, said Blumenthal, Democrat of Connecticut. Senator Alex Padal, Democrat from California, said seeing the report was absolutely critical if there's going to be a genuine consideration hearing in the Judiciary Committee. Alleged insurance fraud. Four arrested after claims unable to bear scrutiny. Los Angeles. California has seen its share of bears breaking into cars, but bears caught on camera entering luxury cars tipped off insurers that something wasn't quite right. In what's dubbed Operation Bear Claw, the California Insurance Department said four Los Angeles residents were arrested Wednesday, accused of defrauding three insurance companies out of nearly $142,000, claiming a bear had caused damage to their vehicles. The group is accused of providing video footage from the San Bernardino Mountains in January of a bear moving inside a Rolls Royce and two Mercedes to the insurance company as part of their damage claims. The department said photos provided by the insurance department show what appeared to be scratches on the seats and doors. The company's viewing video of the Rolls Royce suspected that it was not a bear inside, but someone in a bear costume. Detectives found two additional claims with two different insurance companies for the four, with some date of loss at the same location. Similar video was provided of the bear inside of the Mercedes vehicles. It was not immediately known if the four people arrested had attorneys. The department had a biologist from the California Department of Fish and Wildlife reviewed the three videos, who concluded it was clearly a human in a bear suit. The insurance department said after executing a search warrant, detectives found the bear costume in the suspect's home. The department said a bear costume allegedly worn by suspects with the aim to commit insurance fraud. A picture of the suit was provided with the story. U.S. District Court. Mastermind in Bitcoin theft receives 5-year sentence. Washington. A computer expert who stole Bitcoin's worth billions of dollars at current prices and then spent years laundering some of the hacked cryptocurrency currency with help from his wife was sentenced on Thursday to 5 years in prison. Ilya Lichtenstein's mastermind, one of the largest ever thefts from a viral currency exchange before he and his wife, Heather Rioni Morgan, carried out an elaborate scheme to liquidate the stolen funds, according to the federal prosecutor. U.S. District Judge Colin Collier-Cotley told Lichtenstein that his theft was meticulously planned and not an impulsive act. It's important to send a message that you can't commit these crimes with impunity, that there are consequences to them, she said. Lichten, who gets credit for 2 years and 9 months that he has spent in jail since his February 22nd arrest, expressed remorse for wasting my talents on crime instead of a positive contribution to society. He said he hopes that he can apply his expertise to fight cybercrime when he gets out of prison. I want to take full responsibility for my actions and make amends any way I can, he said. The judge is scheduled to sentence Morgan on Monday. Lichten pleaded with the judge to spare his wife from prison, blaming himself for her involvement. In August of 2016, Lichten hacked into a virtual currency exchange, Hong Kong-based Bitfinex, and stole approximately 120,000 Bitcoin. It was worth approximately $71 million at the time of the hack and would be valued at more than $7.6 billion at current market prices, according to prosecutors. Several months later, Lichten began moving the stolen Bitcoin in a string of complex transactions designed to conceal its path across a series of accounts and platforms. He enlisted his wife's help in cleaning the stolen funds. Lichten, an entrepreneur and cryptocurrency investor, is a U.S. citizen who was born in Russia and grew up in Chicago suburb Morgan. A business owner and writer adopted the alter ego Razzle Khan for performing rap songs and recording videos for her music. Lichten said Morgan were living in New York City when they were arrested in February of 2022. Opinions, editorial shift in U.S. Senate control has Durbin rethinking future. A veteran of Illinois' politician confirms that he's thinking of calling it quits. It's not fun serving in the minorities, so it's no surprise that U.S. Senator Richard Durbin, Democrat of Illinois, has confirmed that he might not run for re-election in 2026. There are a variety of reasons for this potential departure of this veteran Democrat, the two biggest being his advanced age and looming Republican control of the 100-member body. I'm going to watch and see what this means, he told the Chicago Tribune. I enjoy serving this in the Senate. I'm a realist about the future, but I want to see how the relationship works. Durbin, who's on the brink of 80, is referring to his future relationship with the incoming Republican majority, both the Senate itself and on the Judiciary Committee, where he's the outgoing chair. Durbin is quite sensible, going to take his time before deciding, obviously. There's no rush, but despite his age, there are good reasons for him to run again. For starters, as a senior Democrat, Durbin is in a strong position to advance the interests of the state in its dealings with Washington, D.C. Second, his successor, might likely an uber-progressive Democrat in his deep blue state, will be no better than Durbin. The successor, in fact, could be well much worse. Finally, there's no guarantee that the Republicans will retain control of the Senate and the House in 2026 election. In the 2018 election, the midterm and president-elect Donald Trump's first term, Democrats won control of the U.S. House, given the narrow GOP Senate margin starting in 2025, 53 Republicans and 47 Democrats. It wouldn't take much for Democrats to win back control of the Senate or the House or both. There are no final victories in U.S. politics. That's why it's vastly premature for pundits to be talking about political realignment that puts the Democratic Party in a permanent minority position. That's an issue best left to the future historians, but the outcome of future elections depends on the circumstances yet to occur. Who knows what events lie around the corner? Besides, traditionally, the best thing going for one party is the behavior of the other party. Durbin has served in Congress for half his long life, and there's no denying that his age and health are sticking points. But if he says he wouldn't be the first octagoner to continue to serve both his country and his constituents well. We'll take a short break now and return with the second half hour of the News Gazette. Today is November the 15th, 2024. Please stay tuned. I'm Cheryl Walker.